You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, just a quick reminder that if you're going to be making any purchases on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, please go to www.9to5.cc first and click the links in the sidebar or at the bottom of the page to support the site. It makes no difference to you, but it really helps us out a lot. Enjoy the show. Thanks. Tonight, on a very special episode of 9 to 5 Ghost of Fantasia, we talk about three films. Norwegian, I don't know, man. Last time I said Norwegian, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Metal film.
No, it's Icelandic.
Icelandic so film.
The Icelandic.
Metalhead.
Uh-huh.
Backwoods, killer, thriller, revenge film, preservation.
Indonesia-Japanese crossover.
Oh,
killers.
Crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's talk about Metalhead first. So, as earlier stated, this chick in Iceland witnesses the hideous death of her brother.
Okay.
Her brother was super into metal, super early metal, Judas Priest, like that era.
Okay.
He's like super, super into this stuff. Her trying to deal with her grief gets way into metal and leads a life of desperation and pain. It's a very sad story.
It's where you do it in Iceland, listening to metal.
She's super, super into black metal, and she lives in this tiny rural farming village. And it's really a drama about this girl growing up, trying to cope with her pain, her parents trying to cope with their pain, and...
this doesn't sound metal at all.
No, it's pretty metal. It's pretty fucking metal.
Oh, man.
And, yeah, I thought it was like, it had a weird, like, very slow, direct, like, documentary kind of feel to it, almost. Like, it almost could have been a documentary of this girl... really growing up, but it wasn't. It was a story. It was beautifully shot. The character was excellently acted. Like, she drives the movie. She's in virtually every second of the film. She's on the screen, and her story is interesting, but it is a little slow paced.
Okay,
this is not like something that's gonna like jam you through. It's very much a drama.
Okay.
And it very focuses on this girl. But I thought it was a beautiful story, and I recommend
also what would you compare it to if you were like. Give me a ballpark if you were to compare it to another film.
I'm going to have to come back to that one. This one was really unique. Really unique. I hate people who say that. Nothing's unique.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Compare it to another film. You've seen hundreds.
I don't have anything in my head right now to compare it to. There was nothing else at the festival that was like this.
Okay.
That was as thoughtful and patient and brutal. I mean that in the metal sense.
Really fucking brutal.
Exactly.
Right.
Preservation?
Preservation. So... Kenny from Mad Men and... Oh, why did I forget her fucking name? The woman who marries the half-faced guy from Boardwalk Empire.
Ren Schmidt? Oh, yeah, that girl. She was also the chick in Trainspotting.
Sure. No.
Yeah.
No. The girl from Trainspotting is the one who hooks up with Nucky.
Oh,
this is the girl
okay,
who's half-faced.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Anyway, yeah, so two period piece actors
yep.
who we kind of know and recognize from HBO and AMC go off with their brother into the woods to go camping. The wildlife preservation is unfortunately closed. They go anyway, and then they start to get fucked with by some backwoods killers.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a movie that you've definitely probably seen before.
Not necessarily a bad thing.
Not necessarily a bad thing, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Here, it got a lot of production value. I mean, like, as a... mentioning even like recognizable people on
those
screen
are named people.
Well shot, well everything else like that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that it does kind of interesting is that the characters themselves, it's referenced that both of the boys grew up as Boy Scouts, were kind of rapscallions, always up to tricks. One of them became a soldier, and then the wife, the woman, is a doctor. So you're
these
like,
are three people perfectly suited to dealing with this situation.
And one of them, and the other, the one who didn't go to army is like a cutthroat fucking like Wall Street guy who also still has that like Boy Scout training, right? So not as much as army guy, but still has that like cutthroat mindset of...
That's such a good twist on the standard I'm trapped in the woods and there are people
right?
hunting me.
I don't really want to get too into the spoilers, but this movie has a lot going on for it. When you're watching it from the beginning, you're going to be like, oh fuck, they plant seeds for what could become an incredible film.
Could.
It unfortunately does not pay off.
Oh.
It reverts to pretty much
exactly tried and true backwoods killer territory of, like, running through the woods, getting chased by killers who kind of outgun you. And then, and I guess this is a slight, I don't really want to get into the spoiler.
Yeah, don't.
But there is, like, a miniature sort of twist that happens throughout, but, like, it seems a lot more like it's maybe trying to be an homage to these backwoods killers kind of revenge movies that doesn't try to do anything new. Has some moments of tense, like, intensity that it does very, very well. There's, like, a couple of scenes where the killers are, like, moments away from getting one of our heroes, and they, like, they manage to kind of, like...
Is it worth seeing just for those moments?
If you're a fan of the genre, like, if you're a fan of, like, I was, like, backwoods killers, sign me up. Like, didn't even need to, like, to tell me it was a good one.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of the genre, I would say that those moments are kind of enough to carry it, because, like I said, it does a good job of walking that, like, tight tension, tightrope kind of thing where you're like, oh, fuck, like, you know the guy's probably going to eat it because it's that movie.
Right, right.
But you're like, when's it going to happen? How's it going to happen? And they kind of, like, they walk that line really, really well in those scenes.
But they could have turned it 100%, right?
They could have turned it 100%. I'm going to talk about it in spoilers.
Yeah.
They didn't. It was kind of, as a result, a bit of a failure. I would only recommend to, like,
genre
full families of the genre.
Unfortunate. Killers was a movie that focused on a mass murderer by the name of Nomura, a Japanese man, who would kidnap girls, murder them brutally on camera, and post the videos online. Okay. He develops a following of people who like looking at his videos.
As you would, really.
I guess. And a man in Indonesia happens to see one of his videos, and they develop a bit of a relationship.
Crazy.
I'm not going to say more about the plot because it gets a little twisty and turny.
Okay.
It gets to be a bit of
sounds interesting though.
Yeah. And it like it's really not 100% about the relationship between these two guys, because the protagonist, who is the Indonesian guy, kind of ends up murdering people and posting videos online, but then also kind of is like a reporter investigating terrible people, and so has this thing where he's like a good guy, kind of.
Yeah.
And he's like struggling with, am I going to be like a good murderer, or am I just going to lose myself and murder people utterly? And so it goes into like a little bit of cool territory like that. It has it is like super, super corny in a lot of places. And
I think I remember the trailer and thinking that it looked a little cheesy.
It was it like definitely,
or like melodramatic.
Yeah. For sure. And not in a good melodrama kind of way. There's some points where you're like, oh my god, is this, are you guys kidding me? Okay, now you're doing that.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I mean, it was pretty intense, super long, 137 minutes, so you're in for the long haul. But I would say entertaining throughout. It was definitely not good enough that anybody who wouldn't want to watch a movie about people murdering other people
for 136 minutes.
For 136 minutes would want to see this. Yeah. And it was not brutal enough that I would say go see it if you want to have your mind blown.
Right,
because it's not. It's like stays in pretty safe territory, although a couple of times it does head out. When you get into the backstory behind Nomura and his
well, because that's it. Like when you talked about it, I was definitely thinking like Luca Magnola, like
yeah.
And you're like, oh fuck, but it doesn't go there in terms of
not all the way. Like it does a little bit. I would say for like if you've seen stuff
Luca
like
Magnata,
Merzir, if you've seen that film, this movie is like 90% of the way to Merzir.
Okay.
So that's still pretty fucking good in terms of freaky whatever, but it is not at the top. All the same, if
on a scale of like one to Serbian film, like a six, seven?
Seven or eight. Like this is
on
this,
Serbia film?
On Serbia.
I put Marcio below Serbia
film. Do you?
Yeah.
I put it on the same level.
No.
Okay. Well anyway, all right then. On the Serbian film scale, this one is a six. or even a five. But all the same, for most people, this would be more violent than they could handle and whatever. And it was very intense all the way through. And while it was not perfect, absolutely a good showing from the Mo brothers. And I would definitely keep an eye out for their next stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I guess also if you're like probably a fan of Asian cinema, like Audition and all that stuff.
This one is right up there.
Audition? Audition's the one where they just – it's the Takashi Miike film where it's just like they beat the fuck out of a girl on camera.
Or Old Boy. If you remember Old Boy and you really
– Old Boy was Korean.
It was. But if you remember that and you really dug on this one is like in similar territory.
Okay.
In fact, that would be the closest comparison I could give it.
Crazy.
It doesn't have like the directorial flair that Old Boy did, but then what does?
Yeah.
But this one still had some very cool moments that are reminiscent.
Crazy.
Yeah. Let us spoil.
Spoil the films! Quiet, John.
These are the spoilers.
And now the spoilers.
All right. Metalhead, I don't want to spoil it. It was like a beautiful, thoughtful film. Does the girl struggle and find resolution with her troubles? I guess you'll have to see the movie to find out.
Oh.
But it's like it's a drama, you know? So probably she does.
Probably she does.
But it's the journey, you know? Like you want to see how her relationships go. Does she like find peace with her parents? Does she leave her small town and go out and make beautiful black metal that she really wants to? Go check it out, man. This was a great
Sounds
a great
like
drama.
This.
Yeah. Preservation?
Oh my god, Preservation.
Yeah, you got a lot to say on this one.
Fuck, I so much. Okay. Yeah. So here's the twist. The twist is that do you remember that movie that we watched? And I fucking really feel stupid for not looking it up. It was like the woman revenge film, and it was like the prototype woman revenge film.
It was a writer. The girl was a writer.
Yeah, the girl was a writer, and this is a 70s movie, and this is a fucking classic.
Yeah.
It even got remade a little while ago, and I feel...
My phone's in the other room.
Super shitty about not knowing. Whatever.
Yep.
Anyway, so it's like... and which ultimately became a genre into itself, like a female revenge thing. The twist is that that's how it ends up. Like, it ends up that both dudes die, and this girl fucking mans the fuck up.
Isn't that the turnaround that you expected from these characters?
A little bit, but you kind of expected maybe, like, I'll explain. I mean, I guess that's the twist, is that you have Army Guy and Wall Street Guy. They both fucking die.
Right.
And the twist is that the doctor girl, who previously in the film also was established that she couldn't even shoot a deer, and they're like, they obviously plant fucking way over the top seeds for it being like, they talk about the story of Artemis, who fucking...
Yeah, the Huntress.
The Huntress who fucking stole the bear claws and all that stuff and then became the killer.
Right.
And all that stuff. So there's like, it's fucking clues for it all.
Everything you've said sounds good, man. I don't know why... Okay. Yeah.
So here's the problem.
Okay.
Like, this is the biggest fucking issue. So like, that's the big twist, is that she fucking, instead of escaping, fucking goes back and kills each and every one of their fucking hunters. Like, she fucking kills everybody. And I guess that's the twist. The fucking flaws with this movie that I don't really want to get into, because they are obviously spoilers and that the dudes die. You set up this cast to be fucking incredibly equipped to be fucked with by backwoods killers, and everybody's completely ineffective up until where the girl fucking flips the switch and decides
ineffective
to...
Ineffective how?
Ineffective, like, the... Okay, here's the thing. We're going to talk about it in the 9 to 5 Z's. I don't know if it got a full nom or an honorable mention. Every single fucking character in this movie turns their back on the person who was trying to kill them a moment ago because they think that they have a moment of safety. And they just turn their back to, like, fiddle with their phone or fucking tie their shoes or, I'm going to turn my back on you while I reload my gun, presumably to kill you with, but I'm going to turn my back on you anyways. And then, oh shit, the guy's not actually dead and fucking actually gets the upper hand and kills you.
Right.
Every time. Every character.
Like 5 times?
All 3 of the killers and all 3 of the main characters at one point turn their back on the person who they absolutely should not fucking
you
turn
might
their
get
back.
One or two of these
maybe
in a movie.
But then when you have fucking Boy Scout fucking Wall Street guy who you'd be like needs to be cutthroat enough to fucking finish the deal, you have fucking Army guy who needs to be cutthroat enough to finish the deal, you have backwoods killers who presumably have done this before. Like, it's very heavily alluded to that this is like a thing that they do,
right?
Which is like, anybody who comes into the preservation they kill who has done this before would probably be cutthroat and finish the fucking job. And it occurs so often that it's fucking stupid. It never fucking comes to fruition that these people actually have a set of skills. It never fucking comes out. There was a twist, like, they plant the seeds for the Wall Street guy to, like, they're like, oh, like, he's like, they're talking about, like, torturing a dog when they were little kids.
Right.
He's like, look at this video of this cat getting flushed down a toilet. And his buddy's like, don't show me that. And I was like, oh, fuck, he's a psycho.
Right.
In my head, there's a version of this film where you have this group of characters, the fucking army guy, who it turns out was discharged from the military for reasons we don't know. You have the Wall Street guy, who seems to be a bit of a psycho.
Right.
And you have, like, the well-to-do doctor, where they start getting fucked with, and this is the better movie.
They snap.
They snap and become 1,000 times fucking crazier.
Yeah.
Possibly even killing the fucking wife because she's going to rat them out or something.
Right.
And then continue to, like, fuck with the backwoods killers, like, torturing and going on. And I would have been so down for that movie. And that's really, when you're watching it, the movie that they seem to be building up with, they just do not deliver that movie.
Sounds like you got disappointed.
So disappointed.
Yeah.
And because it was like, the seeds were there for, like, an amazing movie where I was like, oh, fuck, they're, like, heavily equipping the protagonists to potentially be even more, like, badass, because it turns out that it's just teenagers that's fucking with them. Right. Like, it's like these teenagers who are just these fucking kids who put on masks kicks, and do this for kicks. And I was like, oh, fuck, these teenagers bit off more than they can chew. These people will fuck you up, and that'll be the twist, is that they're worse than the people hunting.
Right.
Doesn't happen. Just goes fucking by the book. Let us know. So, so sad.
Sorry, guys. Preservation.
Yep. Like I said, I stand by my recommendation. If you're a fan of the genre, watchable. If it's not, forgettable.
So, here's Killers.
Pew, pew.
It has an extremely convoluted plot.
The brothers?
No. Not that stupid. It's not necessarily dumb. The Nomura watched his sister get killed when he was young. It kind of like snapped something in him. He's kept her body in this like crazy vault thing nearby where he lives. He like the girls that he keeps kidnapping eventually like escape and kind of get into that room, so you'll learn that little bit about his backstory. Like, it's just so convoluted and twisted, and ultimately none of this is the point of the movie. The real point is like watching these characters murder people and try and discover
who they are,
kind of like.
So, like, it gets bogged down with the plot.
It does a little bit. The real question is the Indonesian guy gonna become a murderer, or is he gonna retain his sanity?
What happens, John?
So he does murder a bunch of people,
right?
He cannot, like, he can't get out of it. The Japanese killer guy shows up when the Indonesian guy is confronting the mob boss who's been threatening his family. The Japanese guy expects the Indonesian guy to become a killer, and then they're going to be like killer buddies running around murdering people together.
They're like Dexter.
Oh, yeah, kind of.
Well, how Dexter always thinks that he's going to get a killer friend, and then he doesn't, and then he has to kill him.
Yeah. Well, anyway, in this case, the Indonesian guy decides to kill himself and take the Japanese guy with him at the end.
Okay.
And this like climactic suicide thing that leaves his daughter alive and also kills the mob boss that has been messing with him.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's like one of those like cool, dramatic at the edge of the build, like the half constructed building. They fall off the thing. It's all crazy. Huh. You know, whatever.
I don't know. At 136 minutes, this doesn't excite me that much.
Well.
Like, it seems like it's a little too heavy-handed and, like,
It is. But I mean, if you're into this, like, yeah, it was a little heavy-handed.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't sound bad. It just sounds like I'd be like, ugh.
That is probably exactly the right response.
It's not bad. It's just, ugh.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, no, what you're missing is that there were some like, well-shot scenes of, like, people, like, escaping from the torture stuff, of, like, him being really spooky with his gigantic, crazy torture room. There's, like, the fun of the, like, sweet, innocent Japanese girl that Nomura is hitting on, and then, like, is she going to survive? Does he get her, like, does he corrupt her thoroughly? The Japanese girl that he's hitting on has an autistic son that Nomura, an autistic younger brother that Nomura is, like, you know, there's all these kids picking on the little kid, and Nomura's like, listen, man, it doesn't matter if you're smart or not. If they're going to fight you, you murder them. You just take it back. Don't let them push you around. Here, have a taser, you know? And then the kid runs around with a taser. Like, that shit actually does make for some interesting scenes and, like, ways for these characters to develop in ways that you wouldn't expect. But yes, ultimately, in the big picture, I'm never going to issue a jot of mental energy at this movie again. It's over. That's but I had bad. Fun when I was there, so maybe you will too.
Like I said, that runtime seems very, very intimidating.
Yeah, it's a commitment. What's coming up next, buddy?
Coming up next on Monday is Gerard Depardieu.
Yes, sir.
Starring in Welcome to New York.
Oh,
and
boy.
And then, I believe, this might be the third or the fourth installment.
Fifth. Yep, Ju-on, the beginning of the end.
Exactly. So perhaps heading in towards the last installment. Not the last installment, because it's the beginning of the end. And coming up on Tuesday, we will have the 9 to 5Zs.
Hooray.
Hey guys, it's me again. Just a quick reminder, 9to5.cc is a fan-made, fan-supported website. That means we don't have any sort of an advertising budget. The only way we really have to get our name out there is by our fans sharing us, liking us, and supporting us. So if you enjoy what we're doing, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We're
there. Tell your friends that this podcast is happening, and it's a lot of fun. Also, if you like what we're doing, we do have a podcast for the rest of the year, John and I, called 9 to 5 Entertainment System that we do with the other founders of the sites, Scott and Sophie. And we also have another podcast that we do through the rest of the year called Go Plug Yourself, for myself and Walter J. Ling. Talk to people that have interesting stuff coming up in Montreal. So once again, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We're on both of them. If you see us at the festival, come say hey, and keep listening and keep enjoying the show. We're going to try to keep having episodes pretty much on a daily basis. Fantasia has been so great so far. So yeah, I'm done. Here we go. Thanks for listening.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.